All right, guys. Well, this morning, again, we're continuing. We've been studying through the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy. I have to say, I'm wearing a different headset this morning. This is my, like, NSYNC headset. So if I, like, break out into dance, just kind of go with me, because I kind of get that feeling when I'm wearing this. But this morning, we're continuing in our study of the book of Timothy. And we've went through a little bit of 1 Timothy. Now we're into 2 Timothy. And we're gonna camp out kind of in chapter 2 this morning. Just as a review, the book of Timothy, again, is written to young Timothy. Okay, young Timothy was a young preacher. He was left in Ephesus to take leadership of the church there. The church that the Apostle Paul had planted in Ephesus. And these writings are literally from the Apostle Paul. And at this point, he is imprisoned in Rome, okay, basically awaiting his death sentence. He's on death row in Rome. And he's writing to Timothy to help encourage him, to help give him some teaching lessons on how to run the church there in Ephesus. And we're going to look a little bit more about that this morning. And specifically, we're going to look at a couple scriptures that talk about being a good soldier. He uses this illustration of being a good soldier for Christ and what that looks like. So we're kind of going to break that down this morning. So we're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 3 and 4 in chapter 2. Then we're actually going to skip up to chapter 4 and kind of look at verse 6 through 8. So as you're studying at home, you know, feel free to go through and read through all those chapters, chapter 2, 3, and 4. We're just going to pick a couple of those verses out this morning. So let's go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to read from the Word of God this morning. And let's pray first. Father God, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity just to dig in your Word. For the opportunity to literally hear you speak this morning. Not that Pastor Dave is speaking, Lord, but that you're speaking through me and through your Word. And Lord, we pray as a church that we can be reverent and take your Word seriously this morning, and that we can apply it to our everyday lives here and now. And Father, just give me the words. Father, remind me of the things I studied. Let your Spirit work in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's look at our verses. Let's go right to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. I'm actually going to start at verse 1 and go up to verse 4. So just go ahead and listen or follow along. And again, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "You therefore, my son, so he's got a lot of affection for Timothy, calls him his son, right? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things that they've heard, right? Commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And that's where we're going to use our illustration of the good soldier this morning. Verse 4, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him." Who's him? "That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." We're going to jump to chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Verse 6 says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul is awaiting his death sentence. Remember that. He knows he has little time left on earth. Verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." That sounds like a good soldier, amen? Finally, verse 8, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So Paul uses this illustration to Timothy as about being a soldier, right? He says, where was it? Verse 3 in chapter 2, he says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, he's talking to Timothy here specifically, but he's still talking to us here today. We are still called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Y'all ever hear that chapel song, that kid's song, "In the Lord's Army"? I'm not going to sing it because you'll want to run out of here. Right? But we're still called to be in the Lord's army here this morning. So we're going to look at a few characteristics or a few qualities of what a good soldier looks like, what a good soldier for Christ looks like this morning. And we're just going to start off, number one, and we see this in verse 3 in chapter 2, that a good soldier is a follower. A good soldier is a follower. And we'll see that being a follower implies several things. Being a good soldier implies several things. So just keep track on this. Being a good follower implies that there's a relationship there, right? First and foremost, it implies that there's a relationship there. For there to be a follower, there's got to be a leader. It implies relationship. So the first step in being a good soldier is you got to join the army, right? You got to join the army. No one can be a soldier for the Lord until they first get into the army. You have to enlist. You have to enlist. Here's the military in the house. Amen? You have to enlist. You need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. God is not going to force you into his army. Amen? For real love to exist in a relationship, it cannot be forced. It cannot be forced. It has to be freely given by both ends. Freely given. He wants you to recognize your sinful condition and choose to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. That's what he wants for you in your life. This is only accomplished through receiving Christ as your Savior. And I probably should have left this for the end. But this is so important to talk about being in the army, being a soldier. It's only accomplished through receiving Christ as your Savior. I'm going to read a little bit more scripture, if that's okay, this morning. John 3:3 says this, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves." Not of yourselves, right? It's not about us. It's not about the good things that we do here. That's not what saves us. "But by grace you've been saved." It's the gift of God. And then Romans 10:9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. So being a follower implies that there's a relationship. If you're going to be a good soldier for Christ, you got to be in the army. You have to enlist. You have to give your life over to him. Being a good follower implies rank, that there's rank there, right? I know y'all military, you're loving this right now. But it implies rank. Being a good follower implies rank. There's always someone higher than you. Always someone higher than you. The same is true in the Lord's army. Every child of God is ranked under who? Jesus. Ranked under Jesus and is responsible for following him and his will for their lives. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." If you're going to be a good follower of Christ, there's a rank. You got to fall in line. Fall in line. You need to recognize his authority and his rank over your life. It's not about you. It's about him. To be a good follower implies that there's rule or rules, right? I know my military guys, they know there were some rules implied. To refuse to follow orders is treason. When we're in the Lord's army, we have the obligation of obeying his orders even unto death. In fact, Scripture says that we're to die to ourselves, right? Notice the call of Christ. It's not changed. Matthew 16, 24 says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" It implies rule. When we refuse to live as the Lord desires, then we've crossed the line from follower to traitor. From follower to traitor. As a soldier, when you decide to do things to do your own thing and not comply to the rules set before you, what happens? Military guys, are there consequences? A lot. Okay, it's like break out the toothbrush and go to the latrines. You know what I'm saying? There are consequences when you decide to do your own thing. So that's our first one. A good soldier of Christ is what? Is a follower. Is a follower. Our second point is a good soldier of Christ is faithful. He's a follower and he's faithful. And we're going to see that his faithfulness can be seen in a couple things. First, in his patience. His faithfulness can be seen in his patience. Scripture says to endure hardship. Right? A good soldier endures hardship and does not quit. Does not quit. The good soldier realizes that there will be troubles along the way and is not detoured by them. That's a good soldier. He understands that pain is often part of the package. Is there anyone here who enlists in the military and doesn't realize that there's going to be some pain? Why, when we enlist in the Lord's army, do some of us think that there's not going to be pain involved? There's going to be pain. But be faithful. He understands pain is often part of the package. The training is not always pleasant. The training is not always pleasant. And we've got, is Evan in the house? Evan's in the house this morning. Evan's enlisting in the Marines after school next year. Guess what, Evan? Training's not always going to be pleasant. He knows. You may be pushed to your limits. You may be pushed to your limits. But a good soldier's patience allows him or her to remain faithful to the cause. A good soldier is a follower. He's faithful. John 16, 33 says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Does it say you might? It says you will have tribulation. As a follower of Jesus, I guarantee you will have tribulation. Guarantee. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. But also remember, he uses these hardships, right, to do what? To mold us. He asks us to endure these hardships, but it's for a purpose. He's using those things to mold us, to draw us closer to him. And just remember, Romans 8:28 says this, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." You're going to have tribulation, but God is going to use those things to mold you. He's going to use those things for your good. You may not understand that this morning. Whatever you're going through right now, you may not understand how God can possibly use the tragedy, the pain that's going on in your life. how God can use that. But his word is true. We know all things work together for good. So a good soldier is faithful in his patience. You can see it. You can also see it in his priorities. You can see it in his priorities. What is the one thing he seeks to do? Please himself? Please the commander. Please the commander. Notice that the good soldier has no higher goal in life than pleasing his superior. The good soldier knows that anything which interferes with his performance in the military must be done away with. The good soldier wants to please his superior and does whatever he has to. Does whatever he has to get the job done. Who comes first in your life this morning? Whatever or whoever it is, whoever's first, that's your God. Is that the God of Scripture? Or is that something else this morning? Where's your priorities? Pleasing Jesus ought to be the first priority of every follower of Jesus. First priority. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." A good soldier is faithful. You can see it in his patience, in his priorities. You can see it in his practice. In his practice. A good soldier guards the truth of the faith. Guards it. The good soldier takes care of the things delivered to him. In his practice. He's determined to do a good job, and he refuses to do anything to bring disgrace or dishonor upon his superior. So it's the same with being a follower of Christ, being a Christian, being in the Lord's army. We should want to live our lives in a manner that brings honor to the Lord and not dishonor. It should bring honor. Are you being faithful in your practices this morning? Are you bringing honor or are you bringing dishonor in how you practice? Philippians 1:27, and this is a hard one. It says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Let your conduct be worthy. Now, we know we all fall short, but this is our goal. Your conduct should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. It should be God-honoring, not God-dishonoring. Our third point this morning is that a good soldier is what? He's a follower, right? He's faithful, but he's also familiar. He's familiar. What's he familiar with, you're asking? Let's start with this. He's familiar with the sound of the commander's voice. With the sound of the commander's voice. John 10:3-5 says this, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. They know his voice. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will be by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." The way to get more familiar with the Lord's voice is to spend more time listening to it. Spend more time listening to it. How many of us, when we hear a new song on the radio, we can almost instantly pick out who's singing it? Instantly. Never heard the song before. Maybe a new release. But we can instantly pick out who's singing it. I heard a Chris Tomlin song the other day. Never heard it before in my life. I knew that was Chris Tomlin singing. How do I know that? By listening to him over and over and over and over and over. I can pick out his voice. How do we hear the voice of God? How do we hear the voice of God? How do we become attuned to his voice, to the voice of the commander? You do this by getting in the word. It sounds so simple. You do this by getting in the Word. God speaks through His Word. Becoming attuned to God's voice involves constant ingestion of His Word. Tweet that. Write that down. Becoming attuned to God's voice involves constant ingestion of His Word. No other way. So this morning, do you hear Him when He speaks? Do you hear Him when He speaks? A good soldier is familiar with the sound of the voice. He's also familiar with the skill of using his weapons. The skill of using his weapons. A lot of you know these scriptures, but in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, it talks about the whole armor of God. Y'all heard that? If you haven't, go home and read it this morning. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 talks about the whole armor of God. Right? It talks about girding your waist with truth, wearing the breastplate of righteousness, shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Talks about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The good soldier knows that he's engaged in spiritual warfare. If you're a follower of Christ, you are engaged in spiritual warfare this morning. You can't see it, but there's a spiritual realm here right now, and we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Are we fighting? Are you familiar with your weapons? He knows the only way to succeed in the fight is to be proficient in using spiritual weaponry. A good soldier of Christ should be familiar with the skill of using his weapons if he or she intends to succeed to the glory of God. We're called to succeed. We're called to thrive in this Christian life. But we need to be familiar with our weapons. He's familiar with his weapons, the sound of the voice, but he's also familiar with the strategy of the enemy, the strategy of the enemy. To be a good soldier, you got to know what the enemy's doing. Amen? 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Got to know your enemy. It's not always going to look how you think it's going to look. It's going to appear as the light. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I worked with some tigers in my past career, and I've seen them lurk around. And you don't see them right away. As big as they are super quiet. They are super attentive. And when you're not paying attention is when they get you. Know the strategy of your enemy. The good soldier knows that the enemy is ever active and never rests. The good soldier knows that the enemy is shrewd and ever attacking, but he also knows the Lord's there to help. He knows regardless of the trap, God will make a way. He will make a way of escape. The good soldier studies the methods of his enemy and learns his weaknesses and exploits to the fullest extent of his ability. The good Christian soldier this morning, church, needs to be wise to the ways of the devil. He needs to know that the Lord Jesus is greater. He's greater than any enemy will ever face. He's greater. Next point this morning. A good soldier is what? Y'all following along? He's a follower. He's faithful. He's familiar, right? He's also a fighter. He's a fighter. We see this in chapter 4, verse 7. Paul makes three statements here in the verse that describe the good soldier. Being a good fighter, it shows, in this verse, it shows that he's determined. He's determined. Let's just look at that verse again, chapter 4, and I'll read it. Just follow. It says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight." He fought the good fight. "I've finished the race. I have kept the faith." He's determined. A good soldier does not retreat in the face of the enemy. We win, guys. We win. A good soldier doesn't retreat. He doesn't run from the fight. He stands his ground and fights the battle until the battle's done. Many Christian soldiers have dropped out of the battle. Dropped out, given up. It's too hard. I challenge you not to be one of those this morning. A good soldier is a fighter. We could see that. He's determined. He's also driven. Again in verse 7, the good soldier realizes that the battle does not run according to his time frame. Doesn't run according to your time frame, guys. He knows that another is in charge of the duration of the battle. Don't we wish we were in charge of the duration of the battle sometimes? But we're not. But the good soldier is driven to finish. Driven to finish. The good soldier is in the battle to the finish. To the end. Are you this morning? What would it take to make you quit this morning? What would it take to make you quit following Jesus? Many Christians are about one disaster, one tragedy away from quitting on the Lord. Does that describe you? I challenge you this morning, church. Keep serving and keep fighting. A good soldier is a fighter. He's dedicated. He's dedicated. The good soldier dedicates himself to keeping his oath. Keeping his oath. He's determined to live for the Lord regardless of the personal cost. Again, what does Scripture say? We are to die to ourselves. We are to take our natural wants, our natural desires, put those aside and put him first. And if what his desires for us are don't line up with what our desires are, guess which one we should go with? His. Right? He's dedicated. The good soldier keeps the faith. Do you this morning? He keeps it by living it, sharing it, and defending it all the time. The faith is precious to the good soldier. He does everything in his power to keep it pure and undefiled. He's a fighter. And almost most importantly, and we'll wrap up here this morning, but he's a fighter because he has a reason. He has a reason to fight. Why does the good soldier endure hardship? We saw that in verse 3, chapter 2. Why does he endure hardship? Why does he stay in the fight? Why does he follow the leader selflessly? Because the good soldier knows the price that was paid by his superior. He knows the price that was paid to make a place for him in the army. A price was paid, church, for you to be in the Lord's army. You have a reason to be in the fight. The good soldier knows his Lord loves him and that Jesus died to make a way of salvation for him. Therefore, he loves the Lord, and no price becomes too high for the good soldier to pay. There's a reason he's a good fighter. Let's just finish with this. Do you classify yourself as a good soldier this morning. Do you classify yourself as a good soldier to the Lord? Are you a follower? Are you faithful? Are you familiar with those things we talked about? Are you a fighter? If you're like me, you probably recognize areas where you could be better. Amen. I look in the mirror every day. I know the person I am, and I know where I can do better. But if so, I challenge you to come to the Lord right now and let Him make those things as they should be. What's hindering you from being a soldier, a good soldier for Christ? If you're here this morning and you've never joined the army of the Lord, you've never joined, today would be a good time to make that happen. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? When you pass from the scene, will it be said that you were a good soldier of the Lord? It can be said, but it's up to you. It's up to you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, once again, we just come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking through your word to us. And even though these words were penned over 2,000 years ago, Father, that it's still applicable today to us. That these are words for us, your church, to live by. And Father, I just pray right now that this message will just lay on the hearts of these people here this morning. That they see the importance of what it means to be a good soldier for Christ, to be a good soldier in the Lord's army, that we need to be a follower of Him. There needs to be a relationship with Him first, that we need to be faithful in all things, that we need to be familiar with our enemy, his schemes, his ways of trying to bring us down. And Lord, that we need to be a fighter. Because there's a reason to fight. Father, we know the price that your Son paid for us. And Father, just allow that to encourage us. Allow that to give us boldness to go out into the world as part of the Lord's army, to just go and spread your love, to go and spread your saving gospel. If there's anyone here this morning that has not joined the Lord's army, there's only one way to do that. And that's to confess Jesus as Lord this morning. Again, Romans 10:9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. If you have a desire this morning to enlist in the Lord's army, I'm going to do this right now with heads down and eyes closed. I'm just going to ask you to just put your hand in the air. If you have a desire to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, to be truly saved this morning, to leave here without a doubt, Father, we thank you for working in the lives of these people here this morning. We thank you for your word going out. Father, I pray you be in the hearts These people that raised their hand this morning, just give them the boldness and the confidence to reach out to you, to repent of their sin, to ask for forgiveness, and to invite Jesus to be Lord of their lives. We thank you, Grant. Thank you, God, just for the ultimate sacrifice your Son made. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.